Welcome to the Cloak & Dagger Podcast. On this podcast, we'll be talking about Freeform's show, Cloak & Dagger. Here are your hosts, Kat and Butch.
Hello, Cloak & Dagger fans. Welcome back to the Cloak & Dagger Podcast. I am your host, Kat, and I'm here with my co-host, Butch.
Hello, everyone.
Thank you for joining us this week for our recap review of episode 4, Call Response. Overall thoughts on the episode, Butch, what did you think going into episode 4? What do you think of the progression of the story so far?
I think we've finally got some answers, and a lot of people were, you know, if somebody was going to criticize anything about the show, a lot of people were like, oh, it's going a little too slow. I'm a little bit confused about what their powers are exactly, and we got some answers finally in the fourth episode, and more importantly, the two characters finally met, so that's good. It's nice to have, you know, I heard a lot of Cloak or Dagger jokes going around, so it's nice to finally have Tandy and Tyrone in the same room for without one of them trying to run away. So
yeah, and we did have a good interspersal of those scenes throughout the episode, so that felt good. And I agree with you, we got some answers, but I think that we got more questions as well. So I think overall it was a good episode. So let's go ahead and get into our recap. So in the beginning of the episode, we're taken right back into where we left off in the last episode, where Ty and Tandy are together in the church talking about how they need to talk. And Ty, they're talking to each other, and Ty tells her, "I saw into your head." And I thought that that was an interesting way of putting kind of what happened to them in the perspective, because, you know, when in episode 3, they were both apart and having these, you know, dreams, or they were seeing each other and each other's past. But then he said, "Maybe I saw into your heart." So it was kind of interesting the way that he kind of put that into perspective for himself, because, I mean, if you had that kind of dream about somebody else, I don't know how I would feel about it personally. So thinking about that, and then I wrote down as well that Tandy had a funny line, and they were kind of talking like how they got to that place, and she obviously had the concussion, but he told her that he took a bath, and she said, fizzy bubble bomb for the soul.
Oh, Tandy. So I love her. She's got the best kind of like one-liners in the show so far. So it's good, because any bit of happiness or levity that we can get, we'll take it.
I definitely agree. It's just nice to see them together and having this interaction. And I think throughout that whole, what I call the church scene in my notes, that they were, you know, they were really kind of getting to know each other, even though it might not have ended super well.
Yes.
But, you know, Ty eventually starts telling Tandy that what he was seeing was her answers to her problems. And then they started talking about Roxxon, and he started really trying to tell her, like, what he saw in his visions. And when she asked him, you know, what was I doing, he said, "You ran." And she was kind of like, "Yeah, that sounds like me."
Everyone agreed. At least she's like self-aware.
Yeah, she knows that about herself, so that's good. So we have that church scene, and then we jump to kind of these really great scenes where the characters separated are having scenes with their parents. So again, we're having that juxtaposition of their family life. So we're seeing Ty at home. And, you know, he's got, like, the mom and dad getting ready for work, but has the family breakfast and everything, and he's kind of ignoring them, and they're trying to talk to him about his day, you know, what's going on, and he's basically telling them it's none of their business.
Right, and I want to be sure about this. All the two scenes with the parents, this happens after the church meeting, right?
I think so. At the end, I felt like, yes, that's true. So I'm going to go with that, that the church happened. And then, because that's the only way it makes sense, unless that was like.
Yeah, you're right.
Yeah, because he was out with Evita, and then he went right over to the church. And then
that makes sense.
His parents was the next morning. So that's what I'm going to assume, is all that stuff happened afterward.
Right. So that's what's interesting, because when you first watch the when I was going through the episode, like there's this bit of confusion, because I thought the church scene was super short, and then they jump straight into the next day, without knowing that we'd keep coming back to the to that scene. And after going through the episode, what's really cool about this episode was after as you go along, you realize, oh, okay, so at the start of this scene, we're actually watching him, or both of them actually, how they're coming off like the next day after meeting up for the first time. I mean, meeting up in the church. So we're seeing the fallout of that conversation, and we'll get to that later. But that's why I guess we see them, like something's changed in a subtle way already at the start of this episode. And I like how you eventually figure out why. Like you see what happens. Like they did not part ways very amicably, to say the least. So anyway, yeah, that was cool, because Tyrone's kind of grumpy, and I don't know. He's got an attitude to start with.
And that makes sense. So if you do, they are kind of like splitting up the episode by showing you that day after, but giving you glimpses into the conversation that led up to, just like you said, those character changes. Because, even though it was maybe a small step for both of them, something definitely did change within themselves. And we saw that throughout the scenes in, I guess, real time, as compared to the church scenes.
Right. And oh, just one thing I forgot to mention. It was interesting. I just like the fact that during that first church scene, when they were like talking to each other, Tyrone was the first one to open up. And obviously that makes a lot of sense with the characters, but it's cool to see like he says all this stuff that maybe he'd be afraid to tell someone else, like, oh, I'm having like weird stuff is happening to me. And the cool thing was Tandy was just like listening, and she opens up later on in the episode. So I thought that was really cool. And yeah, and I also really love the line. I think it can this is where it comes in. She's like, if hope Tandy's like, if hope exists, I don't think it looks like Greg. And I don't know, that got me. I was like, oh, that's so funny.
We definitely have to talk about Greg during this episode,
Oh yeah.
because I was not expecting this character arc for him, and it happened so quickly.
I know.
But now, and Greg is played by Gary Weeks, and he, we made fun of him as being Greg in the pink bathrobe, but now this episode we got to see much more of his character. But we'll get into that as we go through our review. So we get this juxtaposition of Ty at his home, his beautiful home, where his parents have prepared him breakfast and he's ready to go to school, of him being mean to his parents. And then we go to Candy, who for once is trying to be kind to her mother, going to the house and wanting to speak to her. And they have a really tender moment of kind of talking about Tandy's dad. And Melissa's asking her, what do you remember about him? And Tandy's saying, I don't remember too much about him. I remember that I felt safe with him. I remember that he made bad jokes, but I can't remember the jokes. And that really touched me because it's like, she was so young when he died, and she is trying to cling on to what memory she has of him. And unfortunately, probably the most prominent memory she has is of him actually dying in the car crash.
Yeah, and again, it's Tandy shows up, and you're like, why is she suddenly showing up and trying to reconnect or whatever? And you find out later. That's really cool. You find out later it's because of all the stuff that happens. And yeah, it's nice. It's nice. These scenes are. It's good to see, like, an explanation. Like it flows. Like it's organic. They just structured it so that it's kind of different, but it's like, okay, that makes sense.
And really looking back at it, then that does make sense. It's like, why was Ty being so rude, and why is Tandy being so nice? This is such a strange turn of events for them. But as we get to the end of the episode, now we can look back and see why this was happening. So we get to talk about kind of the lawsuit that Melissa has going on, and Greg is helping her with that lawsuit, and Tandy is saying, the rig explosion, that was not, you know, my dad's fault. Why is this all being blamed on him? Why is he being used as a scapegoat? And Melissa's saying, you know, that's why I have Greg, and he's really looking into this, and she's trying to tell Tandy, you need to give him a chance, basically. And, you know, Tandy reverts back to what she usually says, and, you know, he's just like the other guys. He's married. He's just using you. And, you know, they kind of stop their conversation there, where Greg actually comes in and he has groceries, and it's kind of awkward, but he's like, you know, he's just so happy. He just brings the groceries in the kitchen, like, oh, hi, you know, like weird family dynamic that I've walked into. I'm going to make.
And he cleans up nice. Like, you see Gary Weeks cleans up real nice. Off the robe, and I guess he just got off work, and it's like, okay, they're going to like change him a little bit this episode. Like, you can see it visually right away.
Right, right. And you know, he comes with groceries and he wants to. In her character, she actually didn't run away this time. But after
trying something different.
Yes. After Greg comes into the scene, then they kind of switch back over to Ty, and it's Ty and Evita, and they're in a photo dark room, and they have like a little makeout session. And, you know, I think that he kind of like jumped on her, and then it makes sense if we're juxtaposing that with the conversation that Ty and Tandy had the night before in the church, where, and jumping forward a little bit, but they were talking about, you know, their significant others, and she was like, do you have a girlfriend? You must have a girlfriend. And he was kind of like, I don't really know what we are. So it's like, is he trying to like establish this relationship with her? That's what it felt like to me, that he was trying to solidify what was going on between them.
Right. And like, I don't know, maybe, I mean, the dude went for it the last episode. So
yeah.
It's funny, cause the way they probably didn't like do it on purpose, but the way the scenes were organized, like Tyrone snapped back at his dad. Like he just said something like, I got stuff to do, dad. And now we see what he's got, the stuff that he has to do.
I gotta go
is, yeah. And I think they're in school. Is that, cause they're wearing their school uniforms, right?
Yeah, I think they were.
So that was kind of, that was a weird thing for me. Like they were just suddenly in a dark room, and I wasn't sure where they were. So, and it's interesting cause, the actress who plays Evita, Noelle, she actually tweeted, like, I don't know, like, what do you call them? Like, cue cards for the script.
Okay.
And she tweeted out the small bit of the script that explains where they are in this scene. So I think even she recognized this is kind of, they could have had a smoother transition here to, like, explain it. Because she's like, there was a previous scene where they're in school, like walking down the hallway, and she grabs his hand, and then they go into the dark room. So that explains that.
That makes sense. Yeah, because I was trying to figure that out. Like, she was kind of looking at the pictures that were hanging and developing and saying, well, these are great. And I was confused. Like, does Ty have a photography hobby that we don't know about, or he's taking a photography class in school? But, okay, that makes sense if she kind of just pulled him in there.
Yeah, and I don't know how far they took it, but like we're seeing that they are not shy on Freeform or Marvel even. They're not shy about getting their characters like hooked up.
Yeah.
As we saw with Tandy in episode 1 and now Ty here in episode 4. So that's good.
And I think that, like, when you look back at that and think about that scene in perspective of the episode where, you know, he's probably thinking about what Tandy had said to him, like, you know, do you have a girlfriend? And he really had to think about that, and he wasn't sure how to answer that. You know, he's kind of like, I need to figure out these answers right away, and this is something that I need to figure out. So he kind of, like, jumps on her, and she's okay with that. But it's like, is this something that, you know, you're still kind of trying to work out, or is this something you want, or is this, you're doing this just because you have something to prove from that conversation? So I want to say, like, maybe how genuine was it, or how much of it was he was mad at the conversation that happened the night before?
Yeah, because this episode, in a way, it's them reacting to their meetup. So they're both emotion. I don't know. Not emotionally charged, but they're both. They've got stuff on in their minds, and maybe they're not, like, you know, like thinking 100% rationally. But it's cool though, because they're. I like that you're pushing the characters. Obviously, by episode 4, that you need them to react to the this deep insight that they had in episode 3.
And
so it's good to see the fallout from there.
I mean, they're still kids. Yeah. You still get that feeling from them that they're confused and don't know what to do and don't have anybody to talk to about it except each other, because who is going to believe them, really? And they did establish that in their conversations in the church, that they haven't told anybody about what's going on, and they're the only ones that know anything about each other, because who would believe them? And I think that, they kind of feel bonded together because of the powers, because they have this ability to speak to each other, but at the same time, they're still trying to work out what their relationship is, as we saw throughout the conversation. But we do get back into the church conversation, and we see them having talks about their powers. So what can I do? How does it work? And they're really trying to speak to each other about those powers and who they've been able to tell and who they've not been able to tell.
Right. And I think it's cool that any bit of information, and I was actually trying to struggle with this throughout the week, that people were confused about their powers, because obviously, like, both of us, we were into the show. We've been watching interviews and reading articles, so we kind of have an idea, right? But for other people, they were confused as to how they were, because Tyrone's doing this teleporting thing, but he's also got this other thing where, like, the lights go dim and you're not sure if what exactly is happening, if it's reality or if it's an effect of the bath that he's taking. So we're getting a little bit more clarification. There's still some stuff that's not sure, I guess, or still to be revealed. But it's good, whatever bit of exposition that we have about their powers, we'll take it. We need that. Some of the people who aren't quite versed into the characters of Cloak and Dagger, even people who have just started watching the show, it's good to get that out of the way, because I think it's kind of, I don't know, maybe distracting from the story almost. Like, the stories of these two characters is so good that sometimes you forget that, oh yeah, there's like it's a superhero TV show.
Right,
and you have to talk about things that have nothing to do with parents and teenagers and life. And so it's good to address that. Anyway,
But I get the confusion over the powers, because if you're coming into this not knowing anything previously about the characters and you're just watching the show because it's a good show, I get the confusion, because there hasn't been like a solid explanation of like why they have these powers or what exactly their powers are. We do know that Ty can see fear and Tandy can see hope. We know that Ty can do this teleportation thing, and we know that Tandy can make a dagger. And I think in their conversation from the church, we got that the characters know that they can't necessarily control all this yet, and that they're not sure like when this happens, except that they know that they can see fear and hope through skin touch. But as for their other powers, the teleportation, Ty just randomly appears in front of a car. And I think Tandy had a really good line that whatever is controlling the powers was making him see what he needed to see. They discussed how it kept kind of taking him back to Detective Connors. Or to her. And they did, constantly end up together. So it's like, I get that confusion over the powers. Like, I think we need more of an explanation of what they are overall, like where are they coming from, what is controlling them, maybe just a little bit more insight. But I think by the end of the episode, we did see, at least from Tandy, a bit more control.
Yes.
And so that, I think, is going to be a really key thing moving forward, that, we've seen them for 4 episodes as just being these kids who have these random powers and they just happen randomly and they have no idea what's going on. Now they're kind of starting to own them as part of themselves.
Yeah, and not too many metaphors there for growing up and becoming a teenager, right?
True.
Yeah,
True.
and it's their powers are weird, like the stuff that they add in the show, like for a lot of superheroes, like I don't know, Wolverine would have like he's an animal, so it
Yeah.
makes sense. He has heightened senses, he has claws, he has whatever, increased physical abilities. But then you look at like Dagger, she makes light daggers, and if she touches you, she can see your hopes. So
Right.
it's like I can understand that. Like you said, it's a little bit confusing. And I do like what you mentioned about what Tandy said. It was something that we kind of touched upon before, that there's like a guiding force
Yeah.
to I was thinking just about it for Ty, because he was being led to teleport to wherever he needed to be. But
Right.
same thing for Tandy, obviously. When she needs the daggers, they come out,
Yeah.
except at the wedding thing. That was kind of weird. I
Yeah.
don't know if she needed that, but so that's cool, because I did not like, I thought that would be something that just the audience would have to like I don't know, like have to like extrapolate. But Tandy or and the scriptwriters, I actually made it explicit, like maybe there's something there, so maybe it's more than just the sci-fi stuff with Roxxon, and there's the voodoo and the spirituality, and it's actually maybe part of the origin or part of their abilities.
Yeah.
That's interesting
Yeah,
that they said that out loud.
there's definitely like way more to their powers that need to be explored, and you certainly can
Yeah.
do that within the short amount of time that we've had with the character so far. But the next scene that takes place, I was super happy with. So that was when Tandy and Greg were talking. So he's in the kitchen and he's
Oh,
cutting
yeah.
vegetables. He's going to make fajitas and he's trying to make conversation with Tandy. And she's just looking at him like, who is this guy? What is his angle? Like, what is he really? And the reason I really like this scene was twofold. Greg was great. You know, like you got to see more of his character, but you also got to see Tandy use one of her powers on purpose.
Yeah, for first time?
Yeah,
Yeah.
to use it and mean to use it.
Right. And how did you feel about the hope that she saw? The
You
hope
know,
scene.
I liked it. I liked it a lot. Like I felt that that really added to a level to Greg that I didn't expect them to add, especially for a character who we were introduced as somebody, you know, sitting around with her mother doing drugs, drinking, and living in a pink bathroom.
Yeah,
You
bad
know,
first impression.
right, like you just have this picture of what his character is in your mind. And you know, Tandy kind of says it out loud. She's like, you know, are you an ambulance chaser? What is this? And you kind of like that, you know, are you just a fake lawyer just after my mom kind of thing? And when she uses her powers to touch him and you see that vision that he wants them to be a family. And Tandy's watching that, and I think Tandy understands at that point that what she's seeing is somebody's hope, that this is not something that she can make up. This is a true form of somebody. So she knows, you know, if I really want to see this guy's intentions with my mom, I have to see what his hopes are.
Right. Did it because I saw that scene, and they previewed that on somewhere on the internet, so I saw it a few days earlier, and right away I was worried,
Yeah.
like okay, Greg is like this. I mean, because of Tandy's powers, we know for a fact that Greg is a great guy, and the way they shot it, like it's as pure as we can see as a
Yeah.
quote unquote good thing we have in the show. I'm like, I'm not feeling confident for Greg.
Yeah, you're like, what's gonna happen
Like, is
now?
something gonna happen? Yeah, but at the same time, he's like the lawyer for Roxxon, and Roxxon hasn't even come up yet. So I'm like, oh, he's probably has like a 4 or 5 episode plot shield that'll protect him until we get into the court. And we'll talk about that later when you see what happens to Greg.
Right. But I was happy with that scene because it did show that he had pure intentions with the family. Like he really wanted to have not
Yeah.
just he didn't want to just have a relationship with Melissa. He wanted to have a relationship with Tandy, and I think that that shocked her more than anything she saw. So that's why she kind of continued to stick around, you know,
Yeah.
in this kind of quest to prove that she can stick around, that she's trying something different, like Ty told her to in the dream sequence or the hope sequence that we saw with Tandy. So I think it was a good, you know, turn.
Right.
So we have our scene with Greg, and then we're going back into the church, and we see, again, Ty and Tandy talking about their hopes and fears, powers, and how those, again, are probably the most concrete of what they understand so far. Ty had touched his mom, and he'd seen her fears, and, you know, Tandy was able to do that as well with both her mother and with Liam. And then we saw later the next day again with Greg. So they both kind of have an understanding of that. It's the other powers, the teleportation, the daggers, the being able to have these powers with each other that they're not understanding yet.
Yeah. By the way, I'm not sure. Did we already pass by the scene in the church where they tested their powers?
We did.
Or is that coming up?
That is coming up. I do have that.
Okay. Okay. Right.
So when we come back from a commercial, and then we see Tandy following Greg, and she follows him to his law office. And then we're kind of going back and forth pretty quickly between the church scene. So back in the church, Tandy has Ty give her his wallet. And she's explaining to him that the reason you take somebody's wallet is not necessarily to steal their money, but to find out about them. And I like the wallet scene because did you notice that his wallet was black with white stripes on it?
Oh my God, no, you're doing it again.
They really know how to throw that in there. It was black with like two white stripes on it. I was like, come on, you guys, that's such a cute touch.
Okay, but like Tandy's wearing this bothered me. Tandy was wearing like a black shirt and Ty had like a black shirt too. And I was like, no. Because he had like a black jacket on, so it would have been so easy to put like something whitish or off-white underneath. But I was like, I don't know. I wish somebody figured that out, or it could mean something. I don't know.
I love that little touch with the wallet. I was like, man, they really think about everything in this show. It really goes there. But she's going through, you know, his wallet and she's trying to find out more about himself, or more about Ty. And, you know, she's kind of letting him in on how she does her cons, you know, like showing him a little bit into her life without necessarily telling him things.
Yeah. So she could be conning him still, or well, she's at least still, she still has her guard up at least.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So, you know, she kind of tells him that how to kind of get into the police station, because he, you know, he wants to find out more about the detective, but he's kind of stuck in this place where he just wants to kill him. And we saw from his vision that, you know, there's another way. And when she made him those handcuffs, when the dagger turned into the handcuffs and he got justice instead of vengeance, that was an important scene. So she wants to kind of help him get to that point. So, you know, she's telling him, I took your wallet because I wanted to find out more about you. That's kind of what you need to do first. You need to go to the police station and find out more about this detective. And he's like, how am I going to do that? You know, I'm, there's no way I can walk into a police station and have them believe anything I'm going to say. So she tells him basically, you know, how I got you to believe me was I made you feel comfortable. I constructed a narrative and I brought you into my story and it was believable. So then we see Ty kind of thinking, okay, I need to construct a narrative. I'm going to put a chain on my bike and then steal my dad's bolt cutters and pretend like it was stolen. Kind of goes into the next scene before we go back to Tandy being with Greg, but we can go right into that police station scene because I thought that was really powerful with Ty. So he kind of pretends like his bike was stolen. He has those pictures. He goes to the police station, wants to report it. And they kind of look at him like he's crazy, like, you know, you want to report that your bike was stolen and people are being murdered, but okay, fine. You know, grab some random cop to take a statement from him. So he's back at this cop's desk and he goes to get a piece of paper and he's looking around and you can feel his anxiety in that scene.
Yeah. And again, the sound department, like they really stepped up here with the way, and it echoes back to the what they were doing with the Roxxon sign on the roof during the Tyrone's in reality when he teleported to the roof.
Yeah.
Like the sound became oppressive and it got louder, and of course Aubrey's acting, and nothing really happened, but you started to feel uncomfortable too, and you know, like you understood where he's coming from when he says stuff like, yeah, why he's anxious about going to a police station, and he does a tandy and runs away.
Yeah, I mean, they did, the show went there with the racial inequalities, and that you could really feel that when he was looking around and he's looking at all these cops and all of them are white, and he's getting really nervous about, is this guy even going to take me seriously? Is he going to believe me? And he gets to the point where, and again, with the sound, you feel that anxiety building up in him, and he gets to the point where he just can't handle it, and he gets up and leaves.
Yeah, leaves.
So, you know, it's like he tried to take her advice, but he couldn't quite get there.
Yeah.
In that situation. Yeah, he tried. And that was an intense scene. I'm glad that they put that in there, because you really did, you were able to feel that emotion with him. But back with Tandy and Greg. So she goes into his law office and she basically tells him, you know, I want to help you. Let me see all these files. And he, you know, he's happy to have that connection with her. So he's got all this stuff, and, you know, he's kind of saying that everything that happened with her dad has kind of been buried, but there's definitely paper trails that these guys are leaving, and she seems to want to help. So she stays there with him and is starting to go over all these files. And that brings it back to what you were saying, where you feel nervous for Greg, because look at all the files and stuff he had on Roxxon.
I know. Really, and his office is just like right there with like a big window.
Right.
Oh man. Yeah. They set it up well for what would happen later.
Yeah. And you know, you just get this like sense that he really cares about Melissa when they're talking about her, and that Tandy, you know, that's important to Tandy, but also what's important to Tandy is helping her dad's name and not running away from this situation. So, again, that was a huge change in her character. And when you look back at the episode as a whole, it makes sense as to why. Because they were able to have that full church conversation, and then this is the next day.
Yeah.
So then we go back to the church, and this is when they're talking more about their powers and they want to test their limits. So this is that really powerful scene we had when, you know, she was kind of like, how close can we get to each other before we activate our crazy is one of her really good lines. Tandy has great one-liners. But that's that really amazing scene when they're standing close to each other and you can see like Ty's, the darkness coming out of him, which is so cool. I really like how they animate that.
And yeah, that's the best part.
Tandy has that like light coming out of her hand, and they're getting close together. They're getting closer, and you think that like she's gonna be able to touch his cheek, and then all of a sudden they get thrown apart.
And that look, I feel like that, because it's all like practical effects, I'm pretty sure.
Mm-hmm.
So that seems like, even when I saw it the first time, I was like, that looked like a painful day of shooting. Because just to get jerked that suddenly.
Yeah.
And it was interesting that what do you think this means? Like when they were like sizing each other, before they did that thing, when Tandy was like speaking,
mm-hmm.
they switched places.
Yeah.
You know, is that right? They switched places. And then they do the move, and then when they get pushed or when they get pulled apart, they switch again.
Okay.
So it seems like an extra step that makes things more difficult. Like if you do that scene, like I don't know if normally I'd imagine they touch and then they just go backwards, right?
Yeah.
You'll fly backwards, and that's a visual way to say they separated, like.
Right.
But they did that weird thing where they switch first. Someone's like they're dancing.
So
they switch
kind of
first.
Like a yin and yang thing where they like kind of twirled around and were thrown in the opposite direction.
Yeah, exactly. So it's a little bit more of a complicated shot. I'm sure that there has to be a meaning behind it.
Yeah.
for me, I kind of thought maybe that the reason why they switched both times was to show that, maybe to represent that they were back where they started.
Yeah.
Or that was kind of what I was thinking. I couldn't quite finish or figure out my thought on that. So I don't know, maybe the listeners could help us out or with why they did that. Cause it's weird. It's like an extra thing that you have to consider in script and film and work out with the stunt people. So
yeah, no, you're right. And I guess I didn't really pay much attention to that, but I'm sure there is a meaning behind why they did that. I guess for me in that scene, when I was watching it, like I knew what was going to happen because we've seen that so many times in the previews, but
yep.
You're left kind of with the sense as an audience member, like, okay, they can't actually touch each other. They can be around each other, but they can't actually physically touch. So what does that mean? And like you said, from the comics, they have this, at least Cloak has kind of like a hunger that only Tandy can, you know, kind of sate.
Yeah.
So don't they have to touch? Like, can they not touch in the comic books, or is that something that's just for the show?
Oh, that's just for the show. They can totally touch in the comic books. She just blasts him with daggers in the comic books.
Okay.
And he's fine.
Okay. So, you know, then, like, how is that going to progress? Is this going to be, like, are they never going to be able to touch each other? Is this going to be something that they have to really have a full understanding of themselves before, like, they have to be able to wield their full powers before they are able to touch each other and have a sense of, you know, control? I don't know. And maybe it is a control thing. Maybe when they tried to touch each other, they were thrown back because their powers are so powerful and they don't have control over them yet.
Yeah. Never mind, like, kissing. So,
well, you know,
if you're shipping them, gotta wait.
Right, yeah. We really do have to wait because they can't even get, you know, she can't even touch his face without being thrown across the building, so.
Can't even shake hands.
Yes. But, you know, it was good to see that scene. To see that they,
you
know, they tried with their powers. So that, you know, at least we had that moment where they were together and they were speaking about their powers and that they tried to use them together and it was a failure, but it happened anyway.
Right.
So then moving forward, we have the scene with Ty and his dad. And, you know, I think this actually happened beforehand. I think my notes got a little confusing because the scenes were kind of confusing. But we did have a scene with Ty and his dad where Ty comes home and Ty's dad kind of corners him and is like, hey, I noticed my bolt cutters were missing. And they kind of fight over his bag. And obviously he finds the bolt cutters in his bag, knows that Ty is up to something. And then he kind of takes him with him and makes him go somewhere. So that somewhere we find out, and I'm still kind of confused about what this is, but they're called the Wild Red Hawk. So I don't know if it's like just some sort of neighborhood thing that his dad was a part of. But
right.
That scene was really cool. Like when he came up to the group of guys all hanging out and kind of singing together, and then they all stop and he's telling Ty, like, don't talk unless I tell you to. And I'm like, why, what's going to happen now? And then, Otis is just kind of like bursts out into song. And
yeah,
like that scene was really neat because you got to see like a different side of his character. What are your thoughts on that?
And not just a different side. It's the first side we see of him. This is the first extended scene we get of Miles playing Otis. And so the interesting thing, I same as you, I did not know anything exactly. I wasn't clear what was going on. I found out later when I watched the Nerdist after show. So shout out to those guys. They are the, or that group is part of what's called the Mardi Gras Indians, I believe. And they are, I heard one of the showrunners say that it's an all men group of black people. So black men sort of, this is going to be so wrong, but basically it's a group of black men celebrating their history.
Okay.
The relationship of their ancestors who were slaves, and at the time, at some point, the local Indians like took them in or helped them escape or something like that.
Okay.
So I guess it's an annual thing, like they have a parade, and so that stuff is true or based on something true. So it's part of something that is it's nice because it's something that the original Cloak and Dagger comics didn't have, because obviously they're in New York and they moved it to New Orleans, and you have New Orleans is known for, you know, the culture and stuff, and
so this is part of
that is here.
Okay.
Yeah.
That's cool that they brought that in then.
Yeah, and you'll see. We'll find out in a bit. They tied it in so well with.
Oh, I know.
With.
Oh my God.
Yeah, with Cloak in particular. So, yeah. That's cool. Nice to see a lot of musical talent on this show. Between Olivia is a singer, and Aubrey is a dancer, and apparently Emma, who plays Detective O'Reilly, she's like a legit ballerina or something. So a lot of musical talent.
Yeah. But I like that scene too, because like Otis was so like BA in that scene. Like he was kind of just standing there. And he knew he kind of had to prove himself, because it seemed like he had been away for a long time. And what I gathered is
that
he had probably been away for 8 years since Billy died. So he had been away for a long time.
Yes.
And then he's trying to come back and saying, hey, I'm back. And then these guys are like, well, you know, you just randomly show up here. Maybe we should, you know, beat your ass, or maybe, you know, the leader, did I write down what the leader called himself? I did not.
Ooh,
he comes up to him and basically takes like a razor and says, I'm going to cut your neck. And Otis just stands there like, bring it. I'm
yeah.
It, you know,
his face.
Ty is just standing there like,
what's going on?
I'm not super sure what I should do, but I should probably do what my dad said in this instance, because I have no idea what's going on.
I'll never take those bolt cutters ever again.
Oh my God, like Ty was everyone in that moment. He was just kind of sitting there like, what is happening? So like I appreciated that was like a little bit of comic relief for me, like the look on his face.
His face.
But then to kind of see like, man, my dad is kind of a badass. Like he stood there to that razor and had no like, he didn't even flinch. He didn't even blink.
Yeah. And one of the, I have to check this again, but one of the background extras, I guess, he was in the, or two, maybe two of them were in the tour of Evita from episode 3. He was in the tour.
Okay.
And he's very, I forgot his name. He's, oh God. He's maybe like a New Orleans celebrity. I want to say, are like a voodoo figure in the community. So they probably like, they were like looking for to add more legitimacy, and they got him. And he's very unique. He's a unique, like, that's why you can't, he's really noticeable in the scene with Evita on the tour. So I was like, okay. And I saw him here again. I'm like, oh, that guy.
Huh.
Yeah.
I just, like, that
forgot,
was
I
really
forgot his name.
Cool. We'll have to look.
Yeah.
So then everybody's welcoming. So you're like, you're still kind of like Ty, where you're like, I don't really know what's going on, but at least nobody's going to try to kill my dad anymore. So we had that scene. And then we go back with Tandy and Greg, and Tandy and Greg are still having their bonding moment. And then now at this point in the episode, I'm attached to Greg. And I know something terrible is going to happen, but I don't want it to happen yet. Because I feel like, you know, he's saying, yeah, I'm married, but it's basically over. You know, we just need to sign the papers, and I really care about your mom because she makes me laugh and she makes me feel, you know, basically like a person. And, you know, they're having this bonding moment, and I'm like, oh, this is just not going to go well for anybody. But like you said, like I really thought at the same time, too, that I thought he was going to have more episodes in him, to be honest. But I did appreciate those touching, you know, and not just because, like, Greg was a cool character, but you also got to see that other side of Tandy where she wasn't, like, this hardened con artist kind of taking from people. She really is, you know, she's a person with a soul who's lost her way, and she's trying to figure things out. And in this moment of staying and not running, she's super vulnerable.
And she's a kid.
That. Yeah, I felt that.
Yeah, she's just helping out.
Exactly.
Yeah.
I totally felt that from her in this episode, that vulnerability. And we've seen it before in glimpses in the past episodes. We've seen her vulnerability, but it's always quickly covered up by, I'm going to run, Or
Yes.
I'm going to dive into a con that's all I'm going to think about so that I can get money to run. So having this extended Tandy, really. And did you notice like her styling, like her clothes and the way they did her hair and her like minimal makeup? She looks like a kid. They did a really good job of making her look more innocent in this episode, I think.
Yeah, that's true. She's definitely I'm not the type to notice makeup and stuff, but definitely her outfit, like she looked younger. She looked like a student. Like she could be like an intern helping
Exactly.
out at the law office.
Yeah, and they
Yeah.
didn't like make her all grown up. Like we'd seen her in the dresses, like really made up, looking beautiful and sophisticated. In these scenes, she looked like a kid. She was dressed down. She was there being helpful and curious about situations, and you saw that vulnerability, and I really appreciated that. And Olivia is just
Right.
an amazing actress that she's able to pull off, all those different facets that we've seen in Tandy's character.
Right. And like two more things for me for from this scene. The first one, when you were talking about Greg, right? Like how he's talking about his relationship with Melissa, and he said something. I think the line was, I'm not sure, but I'm paraphrasing, but it might have been like the way they said it, we laugh at stupid shit. Something like that. And I really love the writing on that because it's so relatable. It's not like to the words that he used weren't too like highfalutin or deep or scripted. It's like we laugh at stupid shit and everyone could relate because everyone probably has someone that they can, and that's how you'd say it. Oh, me and blah blah blah, we laugh at dumb shit. So that humanized him a little bit more. I really like that. And I have my cat moment when I notice something.
What is it?
This one's good. This one's good. So while they were doing their thing, they were doing their little project on the floor. You see outside the window, there is a white pickup truck that passes by, and I might be reading into it, but it slows down. So I'm like, that might be like the assassin or somebody from
Oh,
wherever.
like somebody looking in
Case.
on them.
Yeah, like because it's noticeable. There's no stoplight. It just
Okay.
slows down and then takes off. I'm like, ooh, I saw
I'm
that.
gonna look back at that because I bet you're right. Because
Yeah.
what happened later, and we'll get to that later, was kind of like super quick, and I was like, why did this happen? And like you get why, but like how was this set up? But that makes sense if they were doing like a surveillance, and that was the way in a 45-minute episode that they could show that something was going on. Way to
Yes.
pick that up, Butch.
Thank you. I am proud
Congrats.
of myself.
Putting a point on the board for you.
Thank you.
back at the church, they're, Ty and Tandy are kind of talking about how it's dangerous to get too close, but it did feel nice at first. So that, they're having this like tender moment, and I'm not sure if that was the moment that they were kind of looking over my notes here, because those church scenes were really quick. That might have been the
Yeah,
moment
yeah.
where they were talking about, where they were kind of laying on the floor together, and I thought that was cute because they were laying like,
Oh, yeah.
the way they were laying, they kind of had their heads aligned, but they were facing opposite directions, and it was just cool how they did that when they were having their conversations. They were like, there's definitely something going on here, and we need to talk about this more. But then they got into their personal moments of their talking about their relationships and trying to work that out. And it was funny in that scene because like neither one of them would admit that they had a significant other. So like Ty was like, yeah, I don't have anybody. Well, I kind of do, but I'm not really sure what it is. And then Tandy's like,
Yeah.
well, I had a partner in crime. And I was like, come on. Like, Liam was basically your boyfriend. We know.
That's true. Poor Liam, he's still in
I
jail.
know. Oh, poor Liam. Yeah, like, where is he? Is he just hanging out in jail? I'm assuming that he was
Yes.
released and that maybe we'll see him again in another episode coming up. But
Yeah, they're making us miss him.
I
Doing a
know.
good job. People are
Well,
talking about him.
she's just like, so she minimizes him so much, and it's like you kind of feel
Oh,
bad for
yeah.
her. She's like, he's just
That's true.
guy, and it's like, and Ty saw him, probably doesn't know who he was, but Ty saw him taking the in his
Oh, yeah.
scene taking the paper
Yeah.
from little Tandy, and he was like basically like, I will follow you forever. And so But yeah, poor Liam. I just feel bad for him now.
I'm talking about the shot you said, when they were like lying down for the scene. And so I guess people know that I draw like little cover scenes, right,
They're
for our
amazing.
episode. Thank
Congrats
you.
for
So
that.
I was really I was thinking what to draw. I was like, oh, I'll draw that scene where they're lying down next to each other, and I'll draw it like top view, and it's so dramatic, it'll be cool. And then I rewatched it, and they did the exact scene that I wanted to draw. I'm like, oh, fuck. I guess I'm gonna look for something else or change it up some way, because the way they shot it was already perfect with the lighting and stuff. I'm like, that's
Like
exactly
kind
what
of
I'm gonna draw.
insinuating, like kind of representation is what they had going on in that scene. I like
And
that.
kind of like a and they're kind of like a yin yang, sort
Right.
of, right?
Yeah.
Yeah,
So
exactly.
like I like that. And the visual represented, like you can just see how much thought goes into every scene of this show because they really bring that all in. They didn't have to do that. They could have just been chilling on the floor together in any which way, but they put thought into how that scene was gonna play out, and it was a good scene. But moving forward, we go into we have our split back into Ty and Tandy's day. So we're looking first at Tandy with Greg, and they bring food home
Oof.
from the office,
Same.
and Melissa's like, what's going on here? Like, okay, this is nice. You know, my family is that my strange family that I've assembled here is having dinner together. And then right away it gets ruined by Greg's wife calling him. And in that moment, I was like, dude, just pick up your phone, hit the button so that the screen goes away and toss it away. You're having dinner with, you know, your family. And he just kind of left his phone on the table and like let it keep ringing.
Yeah, well, I guess he didn't. It was awkward, maybe because of Tandy. I don't know. Like, she's a new element to this family dinner thing, so I don't know. He's unsure, and yeah, it's so sad. This scene, like, because we're okay with Greg now. Like, Greg's cool. We know Greg. He's fine.
The good
And then
guy.
Melissa's the one who's like doing a Tandy. She's like backing off or being guarded or somehow like she doesn't. It triggers something with her, just the phone call. And what could Greg do? He didn't know his wife was going to call, and he did try to get, he got rid of her quickly. He put the phone down, and but the night was ruined. And I love Dandy's oh, sorry, Olivia's acting here with when Melissa, sorry, when Melissa was like, oh, I have like a job interview, and she's like, oh, you do? And her face was like, oh, that's perfect.
And then you kind of like, I felt bad for Tandy in that moment because Tandy had kept telling her mom, you know, this guy's bad, he's just like the others, blah, blah, blah. And then Tandy
Right.
comes to the realization that Melissa had already come to beforehand that he was different. Now Tandy's finally at that point, and
Yeah.
since Tandy seems to be playing along with everything, I think Melissa was taking more stock into something that Tandy had said just because, you know, that's her daughter. I'm gonna value her more. And now the phone call comes through and she says, you know what, my daughter's right, you're just like all the others, and she ends up breaking up with him. And you're like, oh, if Tandy hadn't pushed so hard before she knew anything,
Yes.
you know, it
So
would have been
tragic.
okay. So like in like an off sense, like that was Tandy's fault that that happened.
Yeah, and Melissa even like she's explicitly said like your opinion doesn't matter earlier on. Something like that. But now we see it does, because you're 'cause she's her daughter, and you know, oh.
And like in the closer that Tandy gets to Melissa as like a mother daughter, the more Melissa's gonna take stock into her opinion. So then it kind of like, you know, it was like a double-edged sword. Like Tandy made judgments before she knew the whole situation. She tried to tell her mom, you know, what she thought was good advice, and then it just came back to
Yeah.
bite her in that moment. But I think
Oh.
she handled it really well. Like when Greg was saying, well, let's eat leftovers, and she was like, no, it's okay, we're gonna bring them to the office because we're gonna be hungry tomorrow because we're gonna be working so much. And he was like, okay, you know, you're still on my side. So I thought she handled that super well. The scene didn't end as badly as it could
Yeah.
have.
All I can think about is what's gonna happen next.
Oh no, I know, I know.
They're
But
not
let's jump.
that's
It's sad. It's sad. But let me jump over to Ty, because then
yeah.
we're going back. Ty is kind of looking through like articles and things that are hanging in this house that he's at. And the leader, and I can't remember what he called it, maybe a chief, I think. I can't remember exactly, so I'll have to go back and look that up. But he came up to Ty, and he said, you know, he was kind of explaining to him what the spy boy was. And he explained that as being, because that's how Otis introduced himself, as being the spy boy for the Wild Red Hawks. So he was kind of trying to explain to Ty that the spy boy is somebody who goes out looking for trouble so they know what's coming. And was it in that scene where he was telling him, and maybe it was Otis who ended up telling Ty, but that Billy was training to be the next spy boy. So Billy had already been introduced into this society. And he was the one who was kind of training to take over in his dad's footsteps. So that gave you another layer to Billy's character. You know, if you're thinking like, you're looking at him and he was really trying to set a good example for his brother. He was trying to stay out of the stuff that his friends were doing. And you got the sense that Otis introduced him into that society because he didn't want his son to get into that life of crime. So he kind of had that more of a responsibility attached to him. And it wasn't just because he wanted to be a good role model for his younger brother. It was because he was training to be this important position in this society. So that was interesting to find out about Billy's character. So they were talking about the spy boy, and then they were Otis was telling, and I wrote this down, he said, if you can't control yourself, you can't control anything. So again, with the control, that he needed to learn how to control his emotions. We saw that in last episode where he couldn't control his emotions and he just was trying to kill Detective Connors over and over again, only to be arrested.
Yeah.
But his dad had the same words of advice for him, that you need to learn how to control what's going on, like control the anger within you. And then you see the scene, my favorite scene of the show, where he's back like looking at the costumey kind of things. And he finds
yeah.
the cloak.
There it is.
Yep. So that, what did you think about that? Were you like really happy that he found the cloak?
Oh yeah. I mean, everything is so organic, and the way cloak, we mentioned this before in the comic books, the cloak, like it's just some old rag on the ground. Like, it's almost trash, maybe. Like, the Tyrone and Tanya, like, running away, he just randomly finds it, puts it on, and it becomes his defining... It's his name, Cloak, right? So that's it. They never talk about it. And to get so much background detail and backstory and history, and there's going to be more later in the episode, to this Cloak, and not just what it means, but what it is. It's this beautiful costume that they wear in a parade, and we find out it's unfinished. But when it's finished, it's got these beads and ornamentation, and it's so rich, right? Like, and then you on top of that, all the meaning that comes with it, it adds another layer to the character that's so, so deep. And I don't know how they're gonna do Dagger's costume. I hope that whatever, like the dagger that exposes your midriff, you know, it means something in the history of New Orleans and blah blah blah. So
let's go
it's amazing,
because it happened right afterward. So you know they're looking at this really intricate beading work, and Ty's kind of like, what's going on? And they're kind of saying like, this is something that, and this is where the control came in, where they were talking about the beading and how it's really difficult to do, and you have to do it in the right steps or you're going to have to start all over again. And some people don't have the patience to do it correctly and they give up. So this is kind of like, and he was saying, you have to do this every year. And they're saying, yeah, because every year you're reinventing yourself. So this was like a representation of themselves in an art form. So, you know, Ty's dad was kind of saying the back room is filled with projects that people couldn't finish because they didn't have the patience. They couldn't, you know, they couldn't get it right. They couldn't finish it. So
right.
That's when that back room was filled with those projects, and that's where Ty finds that cloak, and he sees it, and to him, he's thinking, oh, here's something that I just feel I connect with. This is an unfinished project. I'm going to grab this, and I'm going to make this something of my own. And when he brings it out, you can see the emotion on Otis's face, and he gets kind of upset, and he's like, what are you doing with that? You need to put that back. Why did you pick that? And Ty says, you know, Ty was confused, like, you know, this is just somebody's unfinished project. I think I can finish it and make it my own. I just feel like it's calling out to me. And that's when Otis drops the bomb that was Billy's project. And obviously he wasn't able to finish it because he was killed. And like, so it's not just his cloak from, you know, the comic books that he found on the side of the street. This cloak belonged to his brother. And now he's going to take it on. And take on that position that his brother was trying to fill, but he was going to finish the beating in the cloak and really make it.
Yeah. Happen. He's taking over like what his brother wasn't able to finish. And he mentioned that later on that he feels like a weight because of what happened. There's like a weight or pressure from his parents.
Mm-hmm.
Like he feels like he has to live up to two lives, and this is sort of a direct, I don't know, like correlation to that,
mm-hmm.
that he's going to take up what Billy wasn't able to finish and finish it. So again, like so many emotions, and just, you know, I saw someone online was like, I don't see the love or the, how they don't, like they show it, but they don't explain how Ty loves Billy so much. And I just couldn't agree because of scenes like this, like, and you know, when he was in Father Delgado's office in episode 3, he loves his brother so much. And we never see Aubrey and Billy, because Billy's always interacting with the younger version of Ty, but.
Yeah.
I don't know. You see it, right? Like it's pretty obvious that Ty still feels his brother's presence. He thinks that his brother is behind or guiding his powers.
Yeah.
Like he says that. We know that. So I don't know. It's just so amazing.
And I like how you brought up the fact, and that comes up in a little bit when we go back to the church scene when they're talking about the fact that Ty feels like he has to live two lives. And I think in that scene, when he took his brother's cloak, I think he had a realization that he doesn't have to necessarily be his brother. He can take what his brother has given him and make it his own and really be his own person. And I think that that's a physical representation of what he wanted to do when he's saying, I'm going to take this project that my brother started that he couldn't finish, and I'm going to
put
this amazingly detailed beadwork into it, and I'm going to make this part of my identity as who I am as a person. Because I'm not Billy, but he is
exactly
part of me.
Exactly. Yeah. What I do with this, when you see it, it's something that I need for myself because I'm trying to control something, and this is like showing my level of discipline and control.
That scene had all the feels when they really tied that much to that cloak. I was not expecting that. That was a good,
same,
good scene.
Did not expect that.
So we kind of end like that succession of scenes with Otis and Ty are going to bead the cloak together. So it was kind of like an acceptance from his father. Like, that's okay that you have this cloak. I want this to happen. And that goes back to Melissa and Tandy. So we had the scene. Did I forget to write this whole thing down? Oh, so Melissa is telling Tandy that she breaks up with Greg. So we see this nice scene between Ty and his dad. And then we see this sad scene where Tandy's kind of trying to say, you know, like, he's different, he's a good guy, you need to give him another chance. And Melissa's like, whatever, I broke up with him. Oh, and that's when they bring back too that Tandy was like, "Is this how you're preparing for your job interview?" And Melissa's like, "You know, there's no job interview."
Oh boy. Yeah, it just scene after scene, like the second half of this episode is so not always heavy, but it's always impactful.
Yeah, for
And
sure.
it's like, here's another one. Like it should be going great. Like Tandy's in already and Melissa's out.
Yeah, I know. This oh so tragic in the whole story arc. But then we go back to the church and Ty and Tandy are talking further about, you know, how the universe is pushing us together, but at the same time it's pulling us apart. And, you know, they kind of come to this realization that they don't really have any answers right now, and that they know that they have to kind of figure them out together because they are connected, but they're not super sure on where to go from there. And Ty says to Tandy, "I think you believe in hope." And that I wrote that down because that was like a strong line to me. Because somebody like Tandy, who looks like such a with her tragic background and who really like who lives in this church, I think that was the conversation where he was talking to her, like, "You don't live in this church by accident. You know, I think that you're a person who believes in hope." And there was also that dual conversation of guilt and how Ty feels guilty for what happened to his brother, and
Right.
you know, they have that hope and guilt conversation, and the ties of religion in the show are neat. It's not overbearing, but it's definitely there. So, you know, he was saying to her, I think you live in this church for a reason, and it's because you believe in hope." And I think that kind of woke something up in her, made her feel like maybe good about herself, because I think she thinks that she's not the best person. And to hear somebody say something kind like that must have been a nice feeling for her in that moment.
Absolutely. And I just love the scene, the way I mean, this is where we see like Tyrone is he's the male, he's a guy, but he's the more, I don't know, more positive and optimistic side. This optimistic side comes out. And traditionally you'd and I'm sorry, and Olivia, I mean, sorry, Tandy is she's dark, she's a little dark, you know, like she's untrusting
Rough around the edges.
yeah, she has like cynicism around her, and like seeing this, I'm like, usually everybody knows if they swap those traditional roles out, and it's just so refreshing, like, and the way she plays it, like her acting and the way Olivia was. Like the thing she was doing with her voice, where obviously she's a singer, so she has vocal control, I guess. It's kind of cracking her voice during the scene, and like a lower octave or whatever, and that was really cool. And for me, one of the most like painful lines in this sad, tragic show. I think this is where it happened. Tyrone said something like, "My parents don't really trust me," and it's like, whoa. And it's not the way he delivered it. It's not even like a big part, because they were at this point there were so many like emotional lines that were being said, but I just focused on that. I'm like, that's rough, man. And I don't even know if it's true. I mean, there's a little bit. I remember when the detective. Oh, sorry. When they were at the during the flashback with young Ty, his parents, when they found out that he was the one who stole stole the stereo back, there like a trust was broken there, I think. But after 8 years, I don't know necessarily if that's how the parents feel about Tyrone, but he says that that's how he feels. Like he feels like they don't trust him completely, and that's sad, man, for a kid to feel that way, right? Like your own parents don't trust you, and they're your parents, they're supposed to trust you at the least. So I don't know, that line just stuck to me amidst all of this sadness happening. This young dude feels that way, and man, it's good he's gonna hopefully open up towards this new friend that he makes.
And then speaking of sad, we go from that scene to Tandy wants to go back to the office to see Greg, and Greg's living his life, getting his files out and together. You can see in the office that somebody's delivering water, and then all of a sudden Greg gets executed. And then the water isn't water, it's gasoline, and they're throwing it around the office and everything gets burned. And Tandy says,
all right. That was cool, though.
Like the gun with the silencer, and like it just happened so quickly, and it was like, whoa, you know, like,
yeah, how did you react to that?
I was shocked because I did not, like you, I knew something bad was going to happen to him, but I didn't think it was going to happen so quickly. I thought maybe they would use him to like kind of dig down into the files more and like really come up with a smoking gun, and then something would happen to him. I did not think he was going to die in that moment. But I knew that something was wrong in that scene, because I was like, why are they showing yeah. with, like him just getting this like random water delivery, and he's like, cool. All of a sudden, he's dead. And I'm like, what?
Oh, all right. So here's the thing. I thought, so yeah, like you said, it's all very sudden. So when the second I see her delivering water, I'm like, oh no. Like my brain goes, oh no, he's going to make a pass at her.
Okay, that's what I thought too. Yeah, I thought maybe that was his wife, or he was having like
ooh, a kinky.
Yeah, or he was like having he had like a mistress in his office, and Tandy was gonna see that, you know, he really is a jerk, and then you saw
yes.
Like, okay, somebody's just delivering water. Okay.
Yeah, or at the very least, Melissa broke up with him, and he's like really distraught, and
yeah.
Like rebound and you know, whatever. So, and then like, yeah, like you said, like very quickly, bam. It's like, oh, and then, okay. And then fish flash, foosh. And that was really fast. And what's interesting is for me, it was so shocking. It wasn't necessarily like tragic compared to all the other, real stuff that was right. being dealt with in the other scenes. This one was like comic book here, right? Like, it's an assassination. Like,
mm-hmm.
So you're immediately thinking more of along the lines of, like, who sent this girl? Like, what's happening? And obviously, your number one suspect is the Roxxon Corporation, right?
Right.
So, yeah. So, but at the same time, but then all the stuff they did, all the little things to establish Greg this episode, and even last episode, like you said earlier, his character arc is so fast. we hate him the first time we see him.
You know,
he's a mess.
He
and
mess.
Here, what happens is like, no, not Greg. And that was for a second I was like, oh shit, the knives are gonna come out.
Right.
But probably better because she still doesn't have control at this point. So
yeah.
And this is like a trained assassin, I guess. So. It's probably for the best.
Right. But I think that they made that the assassin a female for to have that effect of when you first see her in the office, you kind of question Greg. Like you were saying, like, is he having an affair? Is this his wife? Is this somebody? And he really is a jerk. I think that they specifically made the assassin a female so that you could question him in his last moments and then say, oh, no, he's okay. And then all of a sudden
he's dead. Roller coaster. That's not common, right? Like, I don't know if it's sexist or anything, but I don't think too many, there are too many female water delivery people.
Yeah, I don't know. I'm not fancy enough to get water delivery, so. But I do
think,
I think it was deliberate in making her a female so that it would trick
us
into thinking that he was just at his office, you know, having an affair.
And then, right.
Like, oh, that scene was... That was a tough scene to watch. And then, like, poor Tandy, she's like, oh, my God, I just saw this guy who I decided to put my trust into somebody, finally. And now I see him get assassinated right in front of my eyes. And then all of the work that they were working on, you know, all that Roxxon stuff was basically getting burned.
Yeah.
So she runs, and I would have ran, too. I'm not judging her for running in this situation.
Yeah. Yeah. Don't try something different this time.
Yeah. She runs, but then we go back to the church scene, and then they do, and I have in my notes here that they have that conversation about survivor's guilt in that section, but then they do also talk about how Tandy had seen the checks, in her visions with Ty, and how she was like confused about why he had all these checks but he would never cash them, and she decided that it was a metaphor for Ty feeling like he didn't deserve it, that he didn't deserve anything, that he didn't deserve to have anything good. And this is kind of where everything blows up. So they're having like this great conversation, they're testing their powers, they're having like cute moments together, and then all of a sudden, you know, Ty is saying that line where he says he feels like he has to make up for two lives. And then Tandy says that she's opposite. She wishes that she was the one who died. And then that pisses Ty off. And Ty, who has treated her, like you said, with tenderness and kindness to kind of, like, get onto her good side, he suddenly starts yelling at her and is saying, like, you know, what are you talking about? Why do you want to kill yourself? How can you say something like that? And they go back and forth, but then they go into that deeper conversation, kind of like they did with the police station. They're going into, you know, they go back and forth about how Ty is living a privileged life, and then he says, you don't even understand. This whole country is trying to kill me. And I wrote that down because that, you know, he said, this whole country is trying to kill me every day. And they went there in the show, and good, they brought that in, because that's raw emotion from him. That's what he was feeling in that moment. So then he kind of says to her, well, if you want to kill yourself, then just go do it. And I was like, wow, I did not expect him to get that emotion.
Not in free form. Yeah.
But you see in that moment that they each kind of have their own death wish. You know, she's telling him that when she was seeing him in his visions, that he was trying to kill himself basically over and over by killing this cop. And then, you know, what was going to happen to him after that. So they see their own problems, and then nothing gets resolved, really. They kind of just get mad at each other, and Tandy runs to her pills, and she tries to take her pill around her feelings right away. And then what we've seen Ty do in the past is that he runs and goes to exercise insanely till he puts his body to work. So, like, gratuitous Aubrey with no shirt on again.
Oh, my God, I have a problem. I've got to take my shirt off.
Right. So we got that scene in there again. And I think that scene happens, you know, that was right after the church conversation. So that's kind of where, like, that night ended, with him excessively exercising and she excessively taking pills.
Yeah, and just to quickly to touch on, I was thinking about why they, for me, it was, like, a little weird that they brought in race at this point. And you said, like, yeah, it's very topical and stuff. But then I'm like why Ty is suddenly bringing up, you know, like, his skin color and the country's trying to kill him. But you always have to remember what happened to his brother.
Yeah.
And it wasn't necessarily a race thing. Well, maybe it was, but for sure, if I remember correctly, the two cops, Connors and his partner, they were both white. So maybe that imprinted on young Ty. And he never really brings it up as 8 years later, the current version of Ty. He never really brings it up until here, or just a few times maybe. But it still makes sense. Like, you understand, like, he doesn't wear it on his sleeve, obviously, because of his situation in life. He doesn't have to. He's in a you know, good home, good school. Mm-hmm. But he's not blind to it. He lived through it. He lived through a police shooting of his brother, who is a black man, a young black man. So it's definitely in his head, and it makes a lot of sense to bring that stuff up.
I think they had to bring it up because it is something that he lives with. And like, while he comes from what you would look at as being a typical family with a mom and dad who cares about him, and he goes to this really nice school, he still feels the pressure of the racism in his city every day. You know, and I think that with that scene, this scene that he said that to her, that the country's kind of trying to kill me, and that's how he feels. When you go back to that police station scene where he was feeling all of that anxiety, you really, like, that ties together. You really feel why. It's like, you know, this is a fear of his, and legitimately so. You know, he's looking around at all these cops, And you kind of think, like, when you're looking at his solution to everything was always just to kill Detective Connors. He's like, I'm just going to kill Detective Connors, and then the police are going to come after me because they were going to come after me anyway. Because that's the world I live in. And I think that Tandy is helping him look at that in a different way. So you hear and you feel and you see in these scenes that he has that fear of the racism directed towards him. But then after that scene, you get that awesome moment of him saying, I'm going to own myself and I'm going to do this. And I'm going to walk into this police station and I don't care who
yeah.
the cops are. And I'm going to ask for Detective O'Reilly.
Yeah.
I know that she's going to help me. So he has that courage, you know, and maybe that's
yep.
something that Tandy was able to give him.
Yeah, exactly.
And, you know, try something different. Just like they said to each other, you need to try something different. And him, like, really facing that and going and asking for Detective O'Reilly.
Yep.
And not
and
anxiety panic attack like he did the first time.
Yeah, and also the weird happy scene of him making breakfast for
oh, yeah.
his parents.
Yeah. And that was
so
that was like
a little bit of happiness in the midst of all this sadness. Yeah.
You know, he had that nice moment with his dad, and he felt that connection with his dad. So then he kind of has that, you know, maybe when she said that to him, like, you have two parents who care about you. Like, he realized that he was taking that for granted, that he really does need to recognize that he has people in his life who love him. And
yeah.
that other people aren't so lucky.
Yeah.
So taking that all into perspective. So that was Ty's kind of story arc after their blowout fight ends at the church.
Yeah, their big fight.
Tandy.
Oh.
yeah. So we see Tandy, like, snort down the pills. And then, you know, when you kind of backtrack over her day, she had, this all happened in a day for her. Or, like, over the course of, you know.
Yeah, a few
day
days.
And a half. So she... You know, she went to her mom trying to get closer to her, decided she was going to be invested in her father's case, decided to trust this guy who was seeing her mom and learn that he was really a good guy. Then her mom breaks up with him and then he gets killed. And you see this really tragic scene where Melissa's on the phone leaving Greg.
Oh, man.
Emails, and Tandy wants to tell her that he's dead. And you just hear, like, this is the sixth voicemail. I want to try this again. And you're like, oh, my God, I'm so sorry.
There's nothing left of me at this point.
Yeah, oh, it's like so sad. And it's like, well, where's Tandy going to go from here? And you go to the scene of her at the bridge, and she has these chains. And I thought that that was interesting, that earlier in that cooking scene with Greg, when he was saying, hey, let's clean up the yard, there's a whole bunch of chains in it, we need to get rid of them. I'm like, well, there's her chains, that's where she got them from.
Oh, wow. Oh, God damn it. Another point for you.
So she
really forgot.
She grabbed those chains conveniently out of Melissa Bowen's yard. But she basically...
And earlier, Ty had to break the chains on his bike. So there you go.
Oh, there you go.
I'm reaching here, man.
It's okay. I give you a point.
Yeah. Chains. All about the chains this episode.
So she chained her feet together. And then she binds her hands, and she jumps. And we'd seen the scene in one of the preview trailers. And wow, like, I knew she was going to be okay, but that was so emotional and so impactful to show that. Because it was like, where is she right now mentally? She's like, I just lost another thing that I was trying to trust, and I can't put my trust into anything. And you just wonder if she heard, like, an echo in her head of Ty saying, like, if you're going to kill yourself, just do it.
Yeah.
So then they're showing the water, and then all of a sudden you see that light coming up, and she bursts through, and it's the dagger cutting the ropes on her hands.
That was great.
Yeah. And it's like, okay, was she trying to kill herself, or was she trying to test her powers? Like, did she know that she was going to be able to make a light dagger to cut herself free?
What do you think?
I don't know. Like, I don't know. Because the way she was looking at the dagger, it kind of was like, it was kind of like a realization to me that she knew that her powers were there to help her. And I don't know if she was trying to test it. Cause she didn't seem mad that it didn't work, you know? Like, there was no,
Oh, you're right. Yeah.
No, I'm mad that I tried to kill myself, and now this power is not letting me kill myself. I think it was more of a realization that what I have inside me is going to help me get through this. And she can tread water really well for having chains around her
ankles. all the ballet lessons and the running.
There you go, yeah.
Strong legs.
Yes, all from running away from her problems. That was good. That was good.
Yeah, so, yeah, the same thing. I'm glad you brought up that it might not just be straight up suicide attempt that she's trying. Because she recognized, or she has a theory early on in the episode that it comes out during stressful moments. Like, she said that.
Yeah.
So you can imagine her being like, I'll try it. I'll give myself no choice but for these daggers to come out.
Yeah.
And yeah, she puts herself in a corner and you get that beautiful scene. And yeah, I think they structured it in a way that you're not sure yet, because it's obviously it's more interesting if we don't know where this character is at this moment in, like, her head. So yeah, it could go either way. I'm inclined to think that she didn't try to kill herself.
Yeah.
Even though it does make sense, because she had like the most stressful like week.
But I still feel like I feel like she was just testing. Like, she wanted to know the limits of her power. She wanted to know if her power was going to save her. And I think that was the most extreme thing she could think of. And if it didn't save her and she did die in the moment, she didn't care. But I think that she was, you know, when you saw her face and you saw her looking at that dagger in the water, she was like, okay, this is here to help me. It didn't feel like I said, I didn't get that, like, I'm mad that this saved me, that wouldn't let me kill myself.
Yeah, and we see right away what she does with the control over the daggers, right?
Yeah, so she goes back to Greg's office, and were you kind of surprised that, like, there was no, like, police tape and stuff? Like, I don't know what the time lapse between that was, but I was like, somebody had to have known that this building, like, basically exploded.
I that was weird, too. They must have, like, ran out of time for
But she takes her dagger and basically breaks in and cuts through to get those files, and she's like, you can see she's still dedicated. She's like, I'm still gonna clear my dad's name, I still want to know what's going on. Even though she clearly saw the danger that she's putting herself in, I think she didn't care. And maybe that's another reason why she wanted to see, like, if she was in a situation like Greg was, you know, she was in that much danger, if she was in danger, mortal danger, where her power is going to save her. And I think she has that confidence now to know that, yes, my powers are going to come to my aid when I really need them. I'm going to move forward with this investigation no matter what.
Yeah. And yeah, which all comes back to Ty's influence on her life, because otherwise you know what she'd be doing. And not just the crazy things that are happening, but even their conversation and even their big fight, I think, like triggered some kind of like thoughts in her head, like, I'm gonna push back, you know, you're gonna challenge me, I'm gonna push back. So it's very well written. We're seeing cause and effect, and everything's makes sense so far.
I agree. You know, I'm happy with this episode. I'm happy where we got to with the characters at the end. I didn't get to see the trailer for the next episode. Do you have anything that you want to talk about for what we can maybe see next time?
Oh, sure. I did not see the trailer. Thanks for reminding me. I should watch that. Over on Nerdist, they show, like, clips, and what we'll see next week is, it's not a spoiler or anything. Tandy goes to Ty's school.
Okay.
Interesting, right?
And the worlds are gonna.
The way they did it. Yeah, and the way they did it was very was very funny, because like, Ty thinks Evita's like sneaking up behind him, and then he turns around and you see Tandy, and everyone in the show was like, you know, like, you could feel the gas. And it's cool, because I'm okay with the tone of the show, but I wouldn't mind if like just thinking of Tandy being in like a normal high school, I feel like there's some potential for comedy there, just how she reacts to everything, like these little kids. So I hope, yeah, I wouldn't mind some jokes and levity for the next episode.
Yeah, I agree for sure. So that was our recap review of episode 4, and again, that was called Call Response. So great start again to the season. We're almost halfway through the season. I can't believe that. We're going to go into our social media comments. We do have some comments from our listeners. Again, guys, thank you so much for participating in our conversation. We'll keep this going
Gotcha.
on Twitter. But I do want to pause right now because, as you guys know, we are part of a podcast network and we want to give you a message from one of our sister podcasts.
Hey there, Cloak and Dagger fans. Abel here, and I am from the Writer's Block. I'm here with my co-hosts, Julie and Amber.
It is a bi-weekly podcast discussing a writer's journey from story idea conception all the way through to publishing.
Get real and raw advice from actual writers and authors.
You can find our podcast everywhere podcasts are located. Now enjoy your show.
Welcome back. Like I said before the break, we are going to dive into our social media comments. So Butch, you've been super active on our Cloak and Dagger podcast Twitter account, so thank you for that. So you had put out there, what did everybody think of episode 4, Call Response? Give us your general thoughts and reactions, and we do have some responses here. So let me pull them up, reading them right off the account here. So this is from at ITK Moon Knight. They said, TV extravaganza, he is excited for Luke Cage, us too, and still excited to catch up on episode 4 of Cloak and Dagger. So I hope you're listening to this after you've watched the episode of Cloak and Dagger. Our friend of the show, Tavon Myers, 95, said that he really liked the episode and that he's got his review uploading now over on YouTube, so we'll have to go check that out.
Yeah.
We have another comment from at X-Men Rises. Their whole exchange in the church, the connection, the intensity, the power reaction was all very good. And when Tandy jumped in that ocean and came out in full control of her powers, incredible episode. Yes, so they agree with us. So that she did have that realization that she has that control over her powers. So that, I agree, that was a super powerful scene there. At Ya Boy Crimp said, amazing. We agree. We did really like this episode as well. And then we have a couple of comments from at Wounded Liberal, and I'll kind of just sum these up. But basically saying that they want to see more of the emotion, more of a tie to, you know, the pain that Dagger and Cloak feel. And I think that we are getting that. I feel that their acting brings that in to the show as well. Like when you, especially when you're looking at those scenes where Ty's talking about Billy, you know, he had this loss in his life. When he was praying in the church, I felt really connected to him in that moment. That he had that pain of loss.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
And Tandy, I think Tandy's a more guarded character. So you're not necessarily going to feel the pain of her, the loss of her dad. But I think, like I said earlier, this episode showed a vulnerable side to her where she really tried to trust, you know, in a male figure again to kind of like be there for her, to be a champion for her. And then she lost him. But I can see where you're coming from, where you're not necessarily getting that emotional tie to Tandy. And I really just think that's because of the character that she is, that she doesn't let people in. And I think that that's kudos to
Yeah, that makes sense.
like, you know, showing, like, seeing the emotion, seeing it's there, understanding her backstory, but we're still not let all the way into Tandy as a person yet, because Tandy doesn't let people in.
Exactly. And at Wounded Liberal mentions that he wouldn't mind more jokes and comedy in the show, and yeah, like we just said, we wouldn't mind. I personally, like, I don't mind if it's like this the whole season, but I hope we get some. I'm excited for just some comic booky stuff to happen.
Yeah.
A little bit. Yeah, and yeah, just again, thank you to Wounded Liberal. He wrote down a lot for his reaction. Really appreciate that. And everyone, your boy Crimp, X-Men Rises, and IT Moon Knight. They have a that's a good podcast on its own. Thank you so much to everyone who commented.
Yes, and just to pull up another thing that Wounded, I'm sorry, I gotta bring up, Wounded Liberal said as well, that Tandy, he was saying that Dagger continuing to look into the case doesn't make sense, given how the set how they set up her character, that she comes off as somebody who's going to do anything to survive, but now she saw what happened to Greg, and she said, I don't care, I'm still going to go forward. But I really think that is a testament to her new strength as a person, because like we said, she's not running away from this anymore. This is something that she decided is super important in her life, and this is something that she wants to stick through no matter the consequences. So I'm going to disagree in just that aspect that, you know, I'm glad to see her not run away from this. I'm glad to see her survival instincts not necessarily not kick in, but I think she went into it prepared when she realized she has full control over her powers. She's going to be able to, the daggers are going to be able to help her if it gets really dangerous. And then she made the decision to go back and get those files and keep moving forward.
Yeah. And it's, you can say it's not consistent with her character, but that's also a change brought about by.
Voice. Yeah.
And Tyrone's influence, and these characters are going to change. And does it the it's a question of, did they write it in a way that it makes sense? And of course, your mileage may vary on that. I agree with you. Like, what we've seen, and because of the slow setup, we're seeing so much character building.
It's
very organic that this change in the character would happen.
Mm-hmm.
For both of them, but it's very obvious with Tandy at the moment with her storyline.
So again, thank you everybody for participating on social media. We're gonna throw a poll up. We're not 100% sure what that poll is gonna be, but we look forward to you voting in it. And then on our episode next week, we will go over the results of that poll. We did have some good results from our last poll, where we decided who would you like, if you could have somebody's powers, who would you like? So we had some good interaction there. If anyone has anything that they want us to discuss on the show, please shout out to us on Twitter. And again, let's keep the conversation. Really excited to have everybody watching along and listening along with us. So any final thoughts on the episode for this week, Butch?
I'm just so happy they gave us a payoff. The two characters finally met, and we get some answers. So we it's sort of like a mini arc for the first four episodes. It's it ties a lot of the stuff that happens earlier, and I'm looking forward to Roxxon finally. Hopefully we can get Roxxon, the Roxxon storyline going on, and yeah, we have like six more episodes. Oh man, just six more.
I know. And Cloak got his cloak, so now Tandy has to get whatever she's going to get.
Yes, and more Father Delgado. Two episodes.
Yes.
Where's that guy?
We need more. All right, thank you again, everybody, for joining us this week. We will see you next.
Thanks for listening to this week's episode. Make sure you check out the show's description down below so you can follow us on social media. Talk to you next time.